In this classic episode from April 22nd, 2010, Karen Herring and Joel Cordy join Eric Jackson to discuss a text message sent by Joel. This episode was recorded about a year before Karen and Joel became regular Stutter Talk hosts with the B Team. And enjoy the show.
Here we go. Welcome to Stutter Talk, everybody. I'm Eric Jackson, here with Stutter Talk return guests and friends, Miss Karen Herring. Hey, Karen.
Hi.
And Mr. Joel Cordy.
Hello.
What's happening, brother?
Not much. Just excited to be talking to you guys again. It's been a while. Well, I talked to you, Eric, a while ago, but I haven't talked to Karen in a super long time, so excited about that.
Oh. Well, would you guys like to talk for a little bit right now?
Sure.
Stutter Talk, it's stuttertalk.com, 206-888-4619. Should mention that Peter Reitzis is in Italy presenting at a conference there. Yeah, fancy.
That's awesome.
Fancy, right?
Jeez, Peter.
It's the same one he's been doing for the past couple years. It's like a 3-day conference in which he basically speaks for like 7 or 8 hours a day. So it's kind of intense.
So does he even have time to like go see Italy?
I think the last time Lisa went with him and they stayed like extra days.
Awesome.
Actually, I think it was for their honeymoon.
Cool.
Reitz is getting a trip out of work for his honeymoon. Let's get into this show here. I was texting. I feel like such a loser. I was texting with Joel the other day, and Joel replied at one point. I think I asked you how you were doing, Joel, and you said, "I'm doing fine, blah, blah, blah. I'm just sick of stuttering so much." So, like any good friend would have done, I immediately ended the conversation and said, "Oh, we should do this on the air so thousands of people can hear it." So, Joel, what's going on, brother?
Well, just to get everybody up to speed here, because I don't think I've spoken with Karen in a while, is I'm still going to graduate school for speech pathology, but what happened is in December, I got offered a full-time job designing guitar effects pedals as an engineer, and it was kind of the perfect storm, because it was like right at the end of some classes I was taking in the fall that I wasn't really enjoying that much.
Wait a second. So there were speech pathology courses in grad school that you weren't enjoying that much?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
Shocking, Joel.
I know.
Well, we should mention that Karen is also in grad school for speech language pathology.
So, yeah. So I guess what my life consists of right now is a lot of time where I'm not talking at all. And, you know, that's okay and everything, but I've just been kind of thinking about it a lot, because I'm sure that there's other people who stutter out there that are in jobs where they don't talk a lot, and then when the times come up where they are supposed to talk, it it can be kind of interesting sometimes because I feel like you just don't have a lot of practice to talking. And certainly sometimes when I'm trying to explain something technical to my boss or whatever, and I would just really prefer not to stutter. I'll just be stuttering really a lot. And I don't know. I just feel like in some regards it's kind of translated to other parts of my life where I'll be up. Like, for example, I was just up with a bunch of family at Easter. And what we always do is stay up super late and we play Texas Hold'em and then we get into these intense political discussions, which I'm sure no other family takes part in besides my family. Right. But you know, there's just some times, you know, where like, you know, like I listen to a lot of public radio, and especially with the job that I have it on all day, so I'm just learning stuff all the time, and I have all these, you know, like I have all this fodder for political discussions, and like when we're talking, I just want to make my point so well, and there's just been some times where I've gotten like some extended blocks, and it's just been like, dang, I wish that wouldn't happen. But that's kind of what I was referring to when I was when Eric was asking me how things were going. I was just like, you know, things are actually, I'm super happy with how things are going in my life. I'm having a great time, but you know, I just wanted to voice to him that I was kind of sick of stuttering so much.
So what you're saying is that you, and this is going to sound like a question you've heard many times before, but you're kind of saying that with stuttering so much, you can't make your points in these heated political discussions or whatever they are?
Well, I feel like I'm still getting my point across. And like a couple of years ago, I probably just wouldn't have been talking at all. So, you know, I'm definitely really trying to make sure that I get my point across, but it's just not coming out exactly how I would prefer it to come out. You know, it's always been with me when it gets into like the long blocks is what I don't like. I don't like the type of stuttering I'm doing right now. I feel like I'm almost kind of unaware that I'm even stuttering. I know that if someone were to hear me for the first time ever talk, they'd be like, whoa, that dude stutters a lot. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's just like I'm not caught up on a word for a super long time, like 10 seconds or whatever. So to me, in my head, some points, if I'm trying to practice or whatever you want to call it, it can kind of get in the way if I'm not paying attention to what my speech is sounding like. But in other times in my life, if I'm just talking to my friends or just having a conversation with someone, it's kind of nice to almost be kind of unaware that there's any kind of interruptions in your speech, I guess. I don't know if that made much sense, but
it sounds like what you're saying is that it's not necessarily the the blockages in your speech, but it's like the awareness in the situations that, or in some situations that you find yourself in, like how you might be holding up the conversation or how people just want you to say what you have to say faster or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts about this, but I would like to hear Karen's thoughts right now.
I know you're going through a tough time, but some of the things you just said, I think, are really, like, awesome. Like, I've never been in a point where I'm just so unaware of my speech and I don't even know that I'm stuttering. Like, I think that's so cool. Like, it's almost like you don't mind that you're stuttering, but you're more frustrated that it's taking you more time.
Yeah, I should clarify, like, you know, it's not like I'm completely unaware that I'm not stuttering. It's just that, like, I just don't have a big emotional attachment to, like, the small stuttering. It's kind of weird to define it, but I just, when I feel like I'm holding up a conversation and when there's, like, timing I want to get across in a conversation, and then, like, I get stuck and I get in a longer block, then that's when it's evocative of a stronger emotional response from me.
Do you think the emotional response is coming from the fact that you don't want it to last that long, or you think that other people are uncomfortable that it's lasting that long?
Actually, that's a good question. I think that it's more of an internal frustration. I don't think, but I could be wrong. You know, there's obviously some part of me that is concerned about what other people are thinking or feeling when they're part of the discussion and it's taking me a longer time to get something out. Actually, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about that as much as I think I should. Like, do you guys ever feel like you just have trouble putting your thoughts into words sometimes? Like, it's just, like, kind of hard. Like, if I had a computer in front of me and I could type it out, I feel like it could be a little bit easier. But just, like, to me, it kind of seems like it's independent of stuttering. And I was just kind of wondering if that was an experience that you guys have ever had. See, and just now when I just said it, I feel like it's not exactly what I wanted to say. But anyway.
Karen?
I don't really know if I've ever had that. Like, when you say it's not exactly what you wanted to say, but you thought that if you were to type that out, it would have been more clear?
Well, I probably would have erased it a bunch of times. So I don't know. Maybe that was... See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I gave that analogy with the computer, because I don't think I really meant that.
And I'm glad you went with that, Karen. Because when we're typing out a message, first of all, I'll say that I hear what you're saying, Joel. I feel what you're saying. I have certainly thought a lot about my ability to construct language in regards to stuttering and with stuttering, but. Just put yourself in that situation, right? If you were typing, yeah, you could probably get your point across, but you would go back and you would revise and you wouldn't have the pressure of any of the interaction around you, one, and it probably wouldn't be as fast as it would to speak. Even if you are stuttering a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
But I want to ask you a question, Joel. Is it that you don't actually say what you want to say, or say what you want to say how you want to say it? Or is it that you're not getting your anticipated reaction from whoever it is you're talking to?
No, honestly, I think I'm more just kind of into what I'm saying to make sure that it's an accurate reproduction of the thought that I'm having. I think one reason why I've been thinking about this stuff a lot is because I've been listening to so much public radio, and they have these guests on there sometimes that it's just like, when you sit down and think about it, you're like, that person has an amazing skill to just articulate a point or a thought so incredibly well. And then like, if I try to do it, it just doesn't, and I don't know if it's related to stuttering or not, but it just doesn't seem to come naturally to me. It's good that we're talking about it, because I'm just kind of reflecting on it some more. And I think that just like in the past couple years, I'm starting to like engage in these political discussions. And like, another thing I'm doing is I'm in a book club. So I'll try to talk a lot about the thoughts that I've been having on the book that were reading when we have book club meetings. And I think there are probably situations that that would have been really stressful and emotional for me earlier in my life in a different context, but now that can be it's more of a frustration now that I just want to be more eloquent with what I'm saying. That I think it's a different level of frustration, but I think it's a good frustration, because I'm trying to put myself out there some more.
Just say it, Joe. You want to be more fluent.
I'm just trying not to say it.
Well, dude, it's okay to say it, and I would like to get back to this. Let's take a break, though.
Friends, we'll be having our 13th annual convention this July 22nd to 24th in Chicago. We encourage you all to come. Alan Rabinowitz will be our keynote speaker. There will be panels of kids who stutter, teens who stutter, parents workshops, sibling workshops. For more information, you can check our website at www.friendswhostutter.org, and the workshops and schedules will be online.
Hey, this is Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you're listening to Stutter Talk.
Back to Stutter Talk, everybody. I'm Eric Jackson, here with my friends and my colleagues, and the wonderful people that they are, Karen Herring and Joel Cordy. And we were talking just before the break about how Joel would like to be more eloquent, a.k.a. fluent, which is what it sounded like to me. And it sounded like there was some shame in saying that that's what you wanted, Joel.
Yeah. Well, the reason I hesitate to say that I want to be more fluent is because usually if I want something, like, I'll try to take actions to make it become a reality. And, you know, to be honest, like sometimes when I'm having conversations or whatever, you know, I'll try to use some speaking strategies. And obviously there's some that are just pretty automatic, like, self-advertisement and things like that. But beyond some of that stuff, I don't put really any time into my speech at all. So I don't want to come across as someone who's like, you know, who wants this the thing that we all know is kind of attained controversially, and there's not really a right way to go about it, but the reality of it is that I'm not spending any time trying to be fluent, but I am trying to spend time putting myself in situations where there are some speaking demands that I have to deal with and practice with.
Wait, so Joel, you're saying that, I mean, ideally you'd like to be more fluent, but you don't want to work on any tools that could help you with that? Like, you just want it to be cured?
No, that's not it at all.
Well, come on. I mean, let's be honest here.
Okay, yeah, sure.
I think that there's a part in all of us. Like, I will be the first one to say, and I have been saying it for quite some time now, and I felt a lot of shame about saying it too, but I would like some more spontaneous fluency. Absolutely. And not necessarily using those speaking strategies that are traditionally aimed at providing me with more fluency.
Okay, so your question, Karen, was if I just want some fluency to magically happen to me.
What? I guess, I don't know. That sounded like what you were saying. Like, you are sick of stuttering so much, or you're sick of not being able to get your point across, but you don't want to do anything, like, using tool-wise to help it. Is that right or no?
Well, this is another good question. This is good because I haven't spent enough time to thinking about this stuff. So this is good. I need to think about this stuff more. Basically, it's not that I don't want to spend some more time working on some speaking strategies. It's just that I haven't at all. And, the thing is I don't really care if I'm stuttering. There's been a lot of things that have happened in my life, and in some respects I think stuttering is kind of cool, but it just comes back to the whole thing is when it really seems to to interfere with a conversation is when it's annoying and frustrating to me.
So when those, you said that it negatively impacts the conversation. What does? When you would need to use these fluency strategies?
Well, no, I guess I just, well, from my perspective, it's just like the long the blocks that happen. And there's been a lot of times already in this conversation that we're having where I've felt that frustration. Not a lot of times, but a handful of times. Like,
but like when you say that it affects your communication, I don't see that. Like, I've never not understood what you're trying to say. Like, I don't know if it impairs the communication from the other end. It just takes a little bit more time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say that there have been times, Joel, when you've gotten into really long blocks and I've been distracted by it.
Yeah.
I mean, not in a way, obviously, where I'm like judging you or uncertain, but I can kind of like identify with the frustration in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that has distracted me before from what you're saying.
Yeah. And the reason why I've formulated this opinion about myself is because I've gotten into conversations with other people who stutter, who have gotten into the blocks, and then I start thinking about, you know, stuttering related things as opposed to the conversation. So that's why it's, you know, it's not that I'm not going to be patient and give the person all the time in the world, but at the same time, you know, I'm thinking, I'm like, whoa, you know, yeah, this person is probably starting to think about how long the block has been as opposed to the point that they're trying to make, because that's what I tend to think about when I get in a longer block.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, but which is even more proof, though, that, like, you can't control what other people are thinking. And I know we've heard that like so many times, and that advice like starts to lose its meaning after you hear it so many times. But if you think about it, people who are super empathetic to stuttering and to people who stutter, and people who know the experience, and people who have gone through the same or very similar things that you've gone through, if they do get distracted, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. So, like, I know it's like easier said than done, but if we know it's going to happen by the most caring, intelligent, empathetic listeners of stuttering, then what's the point in even fretting over it?
Yeah, that's going to happen regardless is what you're saying, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all of this is assuming that the reason that you want more fluency is based on what you think other people think. Is that true, or is this really just because you want it to make your communication easier?
That's a really good question. You know what? I think it's just all
She's
internal.
Full of them today.
Well, I think it's really I think it's all internal because, yeah, because like this is going to sound really selfish, but I'm mostly just concerned about how I feel about myself. So if I'm in a discussion or whatever, and I don't feel like I made the point as good as I could have, it's bothersome to me. So, and I care about that because I care about how I feel.
I had a question about something you said like a long time back now. You were saying that because of your new job, you don't talk that much, that you don't have as much practice.
Yeah.
Is that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but when you were saying that, did you mean that you don't have as much practice actually talking, or you don't get to hear yourself talk as much, and therefore you're not as comfortable?
Wait, aren't you asking the same thing? I don't understand. I don't understand the distinction.
Okay. I thought you meant you weren't as used to talking as the sense like you'd forgotten how. Like it just didn't feel right to be talking and to be stuttering because you hadn't been doing it much.
No, it feels normal. But it's just that, you know, okay, so in the company that I work for is super small. There's only four full-time employees. There's two painters, a sales guy, and then, you know, the guy who owns the company. And, you know, a lot of times I'll be working on a circuit or whatever, and just like hours upon hours will pass, and I won't have said anything to anybody. And then, the boss will come in the room, and then he'll want to talk about what I've accomplished over the course of the day, and so we'll be talking about it, and then, you know, that's where my frustration comes up, is because I want to be on point, I want to talk, I want to say exactly the successes and the problems that I've had with the project over the course of the day, and it's just tough. And that's what I was trying to get across. It's not that it's not about if I can hear myself or whatever. It's just not having enough of the situations where the speaking demands are high that I would like, because I'd like to have a lot of those situations so I could practice with those situations some more.
When you say that you can practice some more, you mean you can practice feeling more okay about them? We can practice using tools when you're in them. I don't really understand.
Just to clarify, Karen, when you say tools, you're just referring to fluency tools?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I kind of have a theory that the more that you put yourself in the difficult or high demand situations where you're mm-hmm. where you're perceived to be stuttering a lot, you know, this isn't a theory. I'm sure you guys have all experienced this, but
it's a personal theory.
It's a personal theory. Yeah, it's sort of anecdotal, but
okay.
the more that you put yourself in the situations, your stuttering is reduce. So like if I'm talking to like a significant other or whatever, and you know, we talk all the time, the more, you know, comfortable it gets, regardless of if you're using speaking strategies or tools or whatever, you just don't seem to stutter as often. So what I would like, even though it's probably not going to happen, is to have these high demand speaking situations with my the boss, you know, like all of the time. So then I could get really good at it. But
so when you mean get really good at it, you mean you'd be having more spontaneous fluency because you'd be more comfortable?
Yeah, you're just so good at defining exactly what I say when I'm trying to insinuate things. Yeah, I guess that's exactly what I'm saying. It feels, I guess I didn't realize I was saying that, but yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
When you say just putting yourself in the situation, is that all that you have to do to start to feel more comfortable and to continue to desensitize yourself?
Well, I guess I'm not being completely 100% clear with the tools or what the speaking strategies that I use, because I do it. It's just like kind of just comes naturally to me where I'll do some voluntary stuttering, although now I just realize I haven't really been doing any of it during this conversation because I just forget. I get so excited. But but I do that sometimes. But besides that, I don't think I do too much stuff.
I think we've all kind of had similar experiences. And Karen, correct me if I'm wrong here, but we all had our, for lack of a better term, major therapy at the American Institute for Stuttering, where it was kind of this 3-week intensive speech treatment program. And it seems like we all took a lot of the stuttering modification stuff, I'll just say, from that program. Everybody on board with that so far?
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. For me, I, for a long time, had this idea, just as you were describing, Joel, if I just put myself in these situations enough, that I would eventually be more comfortable. And actually what I realized I meant by being more comfortable was being more fluent, or at least a big part of it was having spontaneous fluency. Like, I figured if I for 6 months advertised on the subway and put myself in the most stressful speaking situations constantly I could find, then I would get some reward at the end of the day. And that reward would be an easier time speaking. And I don't know how realistic that was or is. And I think I'm kind of starting to realize that I don't even know what the goal is. Like, I totally get the fact that, or now I get the fact that I'm never going to be completely 100% comfortable with stuttering. And I think that that's what I had thought was going to happen if I continuously challenged myself and if I continuously did all this stuff. And that's why for a long time, the idea of striving for fluency was not what I wanted to have anything to do with at all. Does that resonate, Joel, with how you're thinking right now?
Yeah, well, you know what? It's, yeah, that's probably what I was thinking. And I guess, especially when you're going to school for speech pathology and just, you know, you start to get asked questions about what you've been doing with your speech or how's it been going, and then you realize that you haven't really been to doing anything, you know, that is probably something in the back of my head that I've thought to myself, well, that's what I've been doing. I've been, you know, I've been trying to put myself out there, and you know, that's going to help me at some point in the end. But I just from hearing what you're saying right now, it's just, it's so clear to me that, you know, you've been down that path, and although it was helpful for you, it doesn't mean that at the end of the day you're going to be any more fluent.
Yeah. No, and I think the being fluent is a big part of it, but I also think that that does actually go hand in hand to a large degree with just being okay with it. And like, it kind of comes back to the goals that we set, you know. At first, setting this completely unattainable goal was a good thing because it was so exciting and it was new. And I was ready for anything. And at this point, it's like it, a couple of years after that, it just turned into like default position. Okay. If I'm afraid of something, I'm going to go and do it because that's what I have to do to achieve my goal. But the problem was that I never really knew what my goal was.
Yeah.
And I think in intensives, a lot of times, this kind of thing happens where you're introduced in the beginning to this like crazy ideal of accepting stuttering and being surrounded by all these people. And then all of a sudden it's like you're not surrounded and you're still going for a while, but eventually it catches up to you. And it's like, I never set a realistic goal for myself. Karen.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I'm just trying to take this all in. I mean,
I just
kind of
put you
right
on the spot right there.
I don't know. I mean, this is a lot of stuff to take in. I don't know.
Joel. Wait. Who the hell keeps zipping up something? It's like the fourth time it's happened, and I have to ask you to stop.
That was me. I don't know why I was doing it. I was just, you know, kind of absentmindedly zipping up this thing.
I didn't even hear it.
What's in that bag, Joel?
Well, it's where I've got this kind of cool bag where I keep my headphones, and I just kind of had it in my hands. I was just looking at it, and it's got a zipper on it, and I was just zipping it up. But you know what? I put it down. It's outside of arm's reach.
Okay.
What was I going to say? Oh.
It shows kind of just trailing off and going in a million different directions, but sometimes that's okay.
Well, I don't know why. I don't know if this is completely applicable to what you just said, but
it's okay.
I keep thinking about last year at the ASHA convention. I went to this pre-convention workshop that Scott Yaris did, and he was talking about
that.
Yeah, he was talking about human nature, how that. The pain to change has to be greater than the pain to oh wait, I said this completely wrong. The pain of the status quo has to be larger than the pain to change, because it's so hard to change sometimes. And I know that what always happens to me is whenever I'm like really getting obsessed with stuttering and like really trying to practice speaking strategies in my everyday life and things like that, it just seems like in general things get a little bit easier. Just in general, I know it's a variable as heck, but then what happens is then I'll get pretty comfortable, and then I'll kind of, you know, stop thinking about stuttering as often, and just kind of things seem to kind of fall by the wayside, and then I'll get to a point where I'm just kind of struggling and getting frustrated again, and then I'll start to make changes again, and it just seems to be this like really cyclical thing. Or maybe it's not, and I'm just trying to have, you know, some kind of explanation as to why the things happen to me. But for some reason, I was just kind of thinking about that when you were talking.
I was sitting in psychotherapy yesterday, and it was really funny because my therapist said, you always really want to intellectualize things, Eric, and you want to try to make sense out of them. And it's so true, and I know I do that with stuttering. One of the questions that I meant to ask you before, and then I kind of lost it, was if this feeling of being sick of stuttering so much, if it's a familiar feeling, if it's a new feeling, if it's different. And it sounds like it's a familiar feeling.
Yeah.
So when you describe stuttering as this like cyclical thing, sometime you're going along and it's okay, and it gets not okay, and it goes back to okay, and it gets not okay. And I think we really want to figure out why that happens, and I'm not sure if it's that important. My first instinct would be to try to intellectualize and figure out why that happens. And the more I think about it and the more confused I get about it, it's kind of just like, well, maybe in order to make sense out of the whole thing, specifically these ups and downs that we're kind of talking about, maybe I have to be okay with it not making sense in order to make sense.
Okay, I like that.
And I guess that's kind of intellectualizing, but that's the last stop on the intellectual train. So, all right.
Well, now I'm just excited for the NSA conference.
That's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
When is everybody? Well, we should give a little plug. It's the 7th. Oh, I have the thing right in front of me right here. Okay. Oh, that's good. NSA rocks Cleveland. And as cheesy as that sounds, this is going to be an amazing time. July 7th through the 11th is the annual convention for the National Stuttering Association. And I've said many times on the air why I think it's so great, but maybe people will believe us more if it comes from you guys.
Yeah, I just can't wait, especially after talking to you guys. And Karen, I just want to say to you quick that I think I want you to be my speech pathologist. Because the questions you're asking me really made me think. I just wanted to tell you that. Yeah.
Well, so, thank you.
So at least you'll have one client when you graduate. Yeah.
One.
Oh, right. Hopefully more.
I just have to say one thing about the NSA conference, that if you go, the first round will be on Peter Reitzitz.
How did Peter get roped into that?
I don't know, but he says it all the time.
Yeah, he does, actually. That's a good point. He kind of roped himself into that, didn't he?
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that first round with Pete.
Yeah, he's going to have a lot of first rounds to buy. All right, guys. Well, I will speak to you soon. StutterTalk at StutterTalk.com, 206-888-4619.
So are you saying that you don't like the mindset that I have?
Joe just got railroaded.
So how much are they?
Karen, you probably can't hear Joel that well. But he was going for it, and then you jumped right in.
I was in mid-stutter.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Oh, man.